On behalf of Bishop Kelly and Bishop Sante, the priests, sisters, and seminarians, I'd like to wish you all a very happy and holy Easter. The epistle appointed read for Holy Saturday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then you also shall appear with him in glory. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning, and his raiment as snow. And for the fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the women, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. Going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen, and behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have foretold it to you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is one of the most glorious feast days which we celebrate in our holy Catholic religion. The ceremonies which we perform this morning are filled with much symbolism. In fact, the ceremonies for Holy Saturday can be divided into four parts. The first part is the blessing of the new fire and the paschal candle. Second, there is the reading of the 12 prophecies. Third, the singing of the litanies. And finally, the celebration of the first Holy Mass of Easter. Now this morning, the blessing of the new fire took place outside the church. And the new fire that was blessed symbolizes the divine nature of Christ. And the lighting of the new fire represents the resurrection of Christ. That is, it symbolizes the return of the fire of life to his dead body in the tomb. The blessing of the new fire is then followed by the blessing of the grains of incense. The grains symbolize the spices which were purchased and prepared by Mary Magdalene and the other women, with which they sought to anoint the body of Christ on Easter Sunday morning. These blessings are followed by the procession into the darkened church. The procession into the darkened church represents three things. First, it represents the coming of Christ into the world by means of the incarnation. Before Christ came into the world was in darkness. But when he came, the darkness disappeared. That is why he called himself the light of the world. He said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." The second reason the church is dark is to represent the entrance of the person of the Son of God into the tomb at the resurrection. For when our Lord died on the cross, his created human soul was separated from his body, and thus he really and truly died. And once separated, he descended into hell, and not into the hell of the damned, but into the limbo of the just. He did this to announce the good news of salvation to the people of the Old Testament. While he was in limbo, his body was placed in a darkened tomb. Then on Easter Sunday morning, his human soul entered that tomb. And in entering the tomb, his soul entered into his dead body. It was joined again to it as its life principle. And thus Christ rose from the dead. The third reason for the church being dark is to show how dark the minds of the apostles were after they abandoned our Lord on that Holy Thursday night. For after our Lord was arrested on Holy Thursday night, not only did the apostles flee from him, but St. Peter actually even denied him three times. Now these three darknesses, the darkness of the world before the coming of Christ, the darkness of the tomb before the resurrection, and the darkness in the minds of the apostles before their return to the faith, are all represented by the darkened church. Thus, the next part of the ceremony, which is the procession into the darkened church, symbolizes a threefold dissipation of darkness. The deacon entering in procession carries a three-pronged reed. The reed made of beeswax has a stem and three candles. It is lit from the new fire, and this fire is a symbol of the divinity of Christ. As the procession moves into the darkened church, the darkness begins to dissipate. The darkness of the world, of the tomb, and the darkness in the minds of the apostles. Then the procession enters the church and stops three times. The deacon then sings the words, Lumen Christi, which means the light of Christ. Then one of the three prongs of the reed is lit from the candle in the lantern, which was itself lit from the blessed new fire. And this happens again a second and third time. Thus we see represented the threefold enlightenment of the world, of the tomb, and of the apostles. With the light of Christ illuminating the church, the procession then proceeds to the sanctuary. There the blessing of the paschal candle takes place. At this point in the ceremony, the focus is entirely on Christ and his love for us. Now, the paschal candle, before it is lit, symbolizes the dead body of Christ lying on the cold slab of stone in the tomb. In the candle, there are five holes representing the five wounds of Christ. During the blessing, five pieces of incense are put into the five holes in the candle. The paschal candle is then lit from the new fire. When the candle is lit, it represents the risen Christ. Once the paschal candle is lit, the other candles in the church are lit from it. The other candles represent the faithful who receive the light of faith from the light of Christ. Thus, we receive the fire of love, so to speak, from the fiery flames which dwell in our Lord's sacred heart. Now, during the course of the ceremonies surrounding the paschal candle, the Exultet is sung by the deacon. The Exultet tells of man's fall from grace and of God's love for man. In this beautiful prayer, we read the words, This is the night in which, destroying the chains of death, Christ arose victorious from the grave. Further on, we read, that it would have profited us nothing to have been born unless redemption had also been bestowed upon us. The reading of the 12 prophecies follow the Exultet. Some of them are descriptions of famous events in biblical history, such as the creation, the flood, and the passage through the Red Sea, while others tell of future events. The prophecies are then followed by the litanies. In the litanies, we call upon the saints of heaven to come to our spiritual assistance. And finally, there follows the first Mass of Easter. It is truly a joyful Mass. It is celebrated on Holy Saturday because the church, as it were, cannot wait. She is filled with expectation and anticipation that she begins the celebration of Christ's resurrection today. Thus, we offer to the Eternal Father our very own Lamb of God. Very shortly, we will approach the communion rail to receive the one who is the very bread of life. We will approach the communion rail to eat our Paschal Lamb, to receive his body and his blood, his soul and his divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. And this is a sign of unity with Christ our Lord, and it is also his pledge to us of everlasting life. We therefore have much to be grateful for. We have the true faith. We have the Mass. We have the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have him here in our tabernacle. So let us, when we receive him in Holy Communion, let us offer ourselves to him as he offered himself for us. Let us resolve to give ourselves unreservedly in his service. And finally, let us implore the assistance of his most holy mother in our journey towards eternity, where her son, the risen Jesus Christ, will satisfy and fulfill all the longings of our hearts. God bless you. May you have a holy and happy Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.